Zayin Teves. We're holding a Siman Lamed Vav Alacha Chazayin. We're going to go today to Siman Lamed Zayin Alacha Tes. So here we go. First of all, we're finishing up Melicha. Anytime you have meat that's sitting from the time that it's shechted, that's where Moshe holds, or Moshe finds it, Chazadik Vav HaNigos Moshe holds, that means that immediately from the time of death of the animal, three consecutive 24 hours, set to 25, so basically 3 days, and you didn't salt the meat, you cannot cook it anymore. So the only way to do it is by using the same method that we used when it comes to liver, using the fire method of getting out the blood. And then, there's a whole dispute if you could cook it or you only could roast it, basically you need it through roasting. Also, the Kizza says that there's a caveat to that. That means to say that if in between it was salt, so then the 3 days restart, like the clock starts again. So there's a whole dispute if that means even just washing it a little bit or not. So then all these cases, of course, ask a shayla. When it comes to birds, fowl, so they used to remove anyone that did salting, they remove the feather. I've done this once, like I said. So I have a little bit of experience. It's not an easy thing. They're removing all the feathers, and then they used to scorch it in the fire in order to remove the rest of the stubble. So you have to be very careful when you're doing that, that you should, the fire shouldn't be, the flame shouldn't be too strong. It should be a flame made from straw. And you should be careful that the fowl, whatever it is, the chicken, etc., should be moving around so it doesn't get too hot. Okay. Siman Lamed Zayin. We're starting such a Nagel Maisa Siman, which is the whole, the laws of Tfilas Kalim. You could spend literally this month and years just in this Siman and Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeah. We're going to try to do the best we can in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So here we go. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa according to Moshe Shem to take a vessel, utensil that you bought, eating utensil that you bought from a non-Jew, and to take it from the tumah of a Jew, of a non-Jew, to the kedusha of a yid. Whole shayla exactly what this tumah means, but there's something so special about the fact that our utensils have to be different. So in any case, the halach is the following: if a person is buying kelim, that, like we said, a meal type of utensils. So even if they are new utensils, I mean, you never used by the non-Jew, it doesn't matter. The point is that it was made by a non-Jew, and it's made of the five metals, and there's a whole discussion about other metals that we have today, or when it comes to plastic, etc. But generally speaking, when it comes to metal, that's an obligation, minatera, that's where we mostly turn paskin, and when it comes to schuchis, which is glass, that's midraban, and you also have to put that in a mikveh. Now, that means you're not allowed to use it in any way, whether it's cold, hot, until you put it into a spring, or what we call a regular mikveh, that's kosher for a woman when she needs to go for her menstrual cycle, which we'll discuss all those laws later on. But the point is that it's not a regular mikveh, stam, that a men's mikveh, what we call. It has to be a real spring or a real mikveh, which has gathered water and doesn't move around. And that's why there's such a discussion about all the different lakes, which we'll get to in a moment. In any case, before you do the tefillah, you make a bracha. Asher kiddushanam tzorzu tzivanu al mitzvahs. Al tvilas keli, al tvilas keli. Asher kedusham tzvah tvilas keli. And if there's more than one utensil, al tvilas keli. Since the keli, like we just said, require to be in a place where it's kosher for women to go to a mikveh. So therefore, a person has to be careful when it comes to the rivers. What is the concern of the rivers? If you have a gathered lake and it's rainwater, so then that's not a problem. It's kodesh bo, and it's a mikveh. For example, you put it into the sea. Wonderful. But if you have these rivers, what's the problem? The problem is that they're moving. And if they're moving, so then it's not anymore spring water anymore. It's not majority spring water. And what it is, it's majority rainwater. And especially when the snow is melting, and since it's moving, it's called zoichlim, you cannot dip the utensils in the mikveh. So therefore, as the Kitzur says, you have to be very careful. People make a mistake when it comes to these things. So you have to verify that it is a proper place to be tevil. Clay eats, the Kitzur says, when it comes to wooden utensils, we said it doesn't require tevil at all. But if there's what's called chashuke bal, the different types of metal that are attached to this utensil, so then these are a tefillah without a bracha. Many different situations need a tefillah without a bracha. So earthenware also does not require tefillah. However, if they are what's called glazed, either with lead or what's more common today, you have glazed glass, all these different types of earthenware that are glazed with glass. So that's the most common question they have today. You have a couple gets married and they have all these in new utensils, and usually what they are, they're made of porcelain that's glazed. But Moshe finds in Zechet Tzadik Levach as a chiddush that these things do not apply. I don't think it's even in the Igois, but it's quoted, but it's Talmidim. that these things are not today. What we have, these glazes, very thin glazing, is not what the Kitzer and the Poiskim are speaking about, and therefore there's room to be lenient. The minigoyim is to put it in the mikveh, nevertheless, without a bracha. I think most people do that. When it comes to a utensil that you buy, people sometimes ask me, "Do they buy things online?" If it was used by a non-Jew, already for not kosher stuff, so that's where the whole difference is. Two stages before you do tefillah to take it, so to speak, from the tumah to the kedusha, you also have to kasher it, and the kashering has to take place first. So if it's used, let's say, with hot water, a pot, you have to do agala, regular laws of kasheris, which Amit Hashem will discuss. If someone borrows or rents from a non-Jew, that utensil does not require tefillah. And of course, during COVID, this was one of the most simple etzas for people who bought new utensils and couldn't go to the mikveh. So one of the etzas is, and also, you know, people sometimes are away or out of town, etc., and they don't have a sea next to them. So one of the simple etzas is to give it to a non-Jew and borrow. The problem is, if you do this for a long time, not everyone agrees it's okay. Also, not everyone agrees that this is the way to get out of a mitzvah. So you can't just do it stomp, but when you have a tzarech, this is the best way to do it. If someone borrows or rents utensils from what's called a chenvani yisrael, that means a Jew, but he's doing this, what's called for schoira. He's selling stuff. This is where there's a big shaila. If you're renting or borrowing it, the question is whether really now you're obligated or not. And therefore, whenever there's a suffix, you have to do without a bracha. The problem is when you rent it, when you give it back to the, let's say, the storekeeper or the store owner, and now someone else buys it, it's a question whether he's obligated or not. So therefore, the lach is he has to make sure that the chenvani, the storekeeper, has to tell the person, oh, by the way, I rented out to a Jew once, and therefore, there's not necessarily chiyuv tefillah. You should do tefillah, but there should be without a bracha. A Jew that has what's called a hute. What exactly is the a hute? So it's a factory, basically. That's the primary Russian Yiddish. So in any case, a Jew that has a factory that's making glass utensils, the workers are not Jewish. Now there's a big shaila. If the workers are not Jewish, maybe they are, so to speak, owners, because they get paid for finishing the job. So the halacha is you make tefillah without a bracha. So here also Chumash has a gevaldik chiddush. That's only in the old days where you're paying them much more for the actual malacha versus the actual time or day that they're working. Therefore, really today you should be making a bracha. If a Jew gave money or any other types of metal to a craftsman, a non-Jewish craftsman, to make a utensil, or to fix a utensil that was whole, that the hole was made in it, and it's not even holding any water, it's not functioning as a regular utensil, and needs a tefillah, however, it's still a doubt, and therefore, a bracha should not be made. You only do tefillah. Now, here's another very, very important yisoid. You only do tefillah on the utensils that you use for food. Like, as we said, food. Now, that also means that, let's say, the utensils. I get this question all the time. When it comes to bottle openers, wine openers, etc. These utensils, although they're serving food, but they're not directly touching food, serving food, and therefore they're not required to do tefillah. Also, if something is a type of thing, like the Kitzur gives examples of things that we call the dough cutters, where the utensils that are used for food, but at the time that they're being used for food, the food is not ready to be used. There's going to be another stage, like baking, etc. So therefore, there's no requirement for tefillah. So there's very classical examples of dough cutters, etc. It's interesting, Kitzur gives some example, like a knife of shechita. You're not using, obviously you're not eating the meat right away, but since you could use that knife, so therefore you should be toivel it, but without a bracha. If you have the tripod is what the kids are speaking about, but any oven or type of mechanism that you're using to bake food, cook food, but the food is not touching the item, it never touches the item, so halacha is like it will not require tefillah. A spit, on the other hand, you're roasting meat or any type of cooking item, meaning let's say you have a pot, a regular pot. So when you're cooking the food, it's not ready, but it's going to be ready at the time of finishing. So then, of course, that requires a tefillah and with a bracha. Interesting, the Kitzur discusses these type of glass containers that you would use to serve with. Now, these are not the containers that we bring on the table. Those require tefillah with a bracha. But there are certain ones that were not really serving ones, and therefore, or they you would get water from those utensils, so those you would do without a bracha. When it comes to rechaim shel pilpilin, basically that means the mills of pepper, it requires a bracha because it's made of metal. However, the bottom part which receives the pepper, since it's made of wood, does not require tefillah. Now, the mill of coffee requires a tefillah, but without a bracha. Now, here's a major shaila, just that Chaim discussed. Many times these questions come up when it comes to electric. So there's many opinions that hold, well, electric is something, why shouldn't it be? It's just because it's electric, so it doesn't require, it's an electric urn. Toaster of Moshe actually holds is also, you know, it doesn't require tefillah for a different reason, because it's not really actually doing anything, such as drying out the bread. But other types of items that are electric. So there are those that hold, yes, you should do it. And just, you have to be very careful to make sure that you know how to dry it out. And the other opinion is, well, no, that since it says, and the manufacturer says not to be toivelet, so therefore you're not mechuyev to toivelet. And there's an added fact that it actually connects to the wall. Connects to the wall, it's considered mechubel karka, and somehow that's enough to patter it from tefillah. You should definitely ask a shayla by your rav.